downtown and Wiltern Theaters, where you can buy your seventh war loan bond at any time. Lovers of Gershwin, the Philco Summer Hour at 3 presents a full hour of his best tunes.
The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
Welcome now to our show. Here's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us again.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say and the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood. Look in on the Barton home in Lakeview. It's late on a rainy afternoon as our story opens, and Charlotte's home alone. But now the door chimes ring, and Charlotte goes to the door to find Judge Cronin and Mr. Anderson.
Hello, boys.
Well, greetings, Miss Greenwood.
Afternoon, Charlotte. Whew, what a day. It's too wet for a duck out.
Well, in that case, boys, duck in.
Thank you. Oh, this weather. Everybody's certainly getting soaked today.
I know. If it isn't the rain, it's the prices. Well, what brings you here to see me, boys?
Come now, Miss Greenwood. Does one have to have a reason to call on a sweet, gracious, charming, personable young lady?
No, Judge, but what brings you here to see me?
Well, the fact is, Charlotte, we were just passing by on some business.
And we thought,
well, frankly, you could interest us in a cup of tea.
I should have known. When a man comes to see me without coaxing, he's either hungry, thirsty, or both. But I'm glad you boys dripped in. After you've had your tea, you can do me a favor.
Anything, Charlotte. Anything at all.
That's
for
right.
You.
Mm-hmm. Good. I need somebody to help me sort out old clothes.
Us?
Mm-hmm.
Sort out old clothes? What for?
Don't you read your own paper, Mr. Anderson? I'm helping the children in the United Nations clothing drive. Robert's out collecting now, and if he doesn't get enough, I'm going to go out and help him.
Well, I'll grant that it's a most worthy cause, Miss Greenwood, but why not leave it to the children?
Yeah, grown-ups look pretty silly running all over town with clothes.
They'd look a lot sillier running all over town without them. Now, will you boys stay and help?
The fact is, I'm right in the middle of a most important case, Miss Greenwood.
Uh-huh. How about you, Mr. Anderson?
To tell the truth, Charlotte, I'm helping Cronin.
Yes.
I've been driving him all over town, trying to find a man named Cram.
Cram? What is he, a bus conductor?
Yes, he is. No, please. He's a poet and an artist. Signs his work H. Cram, and that's all anybody knows about him, except that he's somewhere here in Lakeview.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he isn't in the phone book, and he isn't in the directory. He seems to have vanished from civilization.
Maybe he's standing in line at the ration board.
Yeah. Oh, please. My office has been retained by a New York publisher to find this fellow Cramp. He sent them a book manuscript, which they're anxious to publish, but they've lost his letter containing his address.
All they've got is the envelope he sent the manuscript in, with a Lakeview postmark. Book will make a pile of money, but they can't bring it out till we find the writer.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a book is it?
Why, I have some proof sheets that the publisher sent me right here. You see, it's a sort of a book on nature for children. It's called Nursery Versary.
Sounds like the sequel to that book for Army MPs.
Book for Army MPs?
Hickory Stickory.
No, no. This is about animals and insects with illustrations and little rhymes. See? Here's a page that shows the inside of an anthill and all the wonderful things that ants can do. Read that verse down at the bottom.
When I look at an anthill, I think I'd trade places as quick as a wink. Yes, if I had the chance, I'd move in with the ants. And, oh, gee, I'd just be Tickle Pink. Has an original style.
Yeah, it's cute, isn't it? Yeah. You see, Mr. Cram's book not only amuses the child, but it teaches him that ants work and work in their anthills and never go out and play.
Well, I don't know about that. Every time I go out on a picnic, there they are. Seriously, boys, I hope you find this H. Cram so the book can be published. And now I'll see about that tea.
Judge Cronin. Hi, Mr. Anderson.
Hello, Miss.
Good afternoon, Robert.
Goodness, Robert. Oh, you're soaking wet. Close the door, darling, please.
Sure. Gee, I got a whole coaster wagon full of old clothes, Aunt Charlotte. Can I put them in the hall till morning?
Why, of course, Robert.
Coaster wagon full, huh? Well, that's good work, son.
Yeah, and thanks for your help, Mr. Anderson.
My help?
Yeah. You had a piece in your paper that people should put out their old clothes in the front porch. Gee, there was clothes in every front porch I came to.
Well, just goes to show you, people believe what they read in the dispatch.
Oh, do they? How about that other piece in the dispatch this morning?
What other piece?
The one that said, today, fair and warmer.
Well, of course, Charlotte, I can't be responsible for statements made by the United States Weather Bureau.
Oh, you're exactly like everybody else. If you're right, take a bow. If you're wrong, blame the government. Robert, right. What are you going to do with all these clothes you've collected?
Tomorrow I take them to school, but after that, boy, we've got a real problem.
What's that?
Well, us kids have collected a ton of papers. How are we going to get them down to headquarters?
Well, I've got an idea. I'll go to some trucking company and see if they won't loan the school a truck.
Oh, that's impossible, Miss Greenwood. The only trucking firm in town is the Lakeview Van and Storage Company. And John March, the manager, is one of the hardest-hearted men I've ever met.
Well, he's so close, he wouldn't give you the right time.
That's right.
Mr. Anderson, the closer the man, the easier it is to touch him.
Uh-huh.
I'll go and see this Mr. March right away.
But good. We'll go with you, Miss Greenwood.
Yes, of course.
Well, I'd love to have you go. Yeah. Two such well-dressed men.
Us?
Yes. Now, you, Mr. Anderson, you're always so well-groomed, so perfectly tailored.
Somebody told you.
And you, Judge Cronin?
Yeah?
You are a perfect picture of what the well-dressed man should wear.
Oh.
Such a fashion plate. Such a, should I say, Beau Brummel?
Yes, we do.
Boys, you both have such exquisite taste. So, while I'm seeing Mr. March, help Robert sort out his old clothes. Pardon me, miss.
Yes?
Remember me? I've been sitting here an hour waiting to see Mr. March. Are you sure you understood I was waiting for the man and not the month?
Well, I'll try him again. Hello, Mr. March. That lady's still waiting. Yes, sir, I'll tell her. Mr. March is on the other phone, but go right in. He says he'll see you if you'll be short and sweet.
I can be sweet, but I can't make the rest of it.
It's nothing. Now, look, Cassidy, I want you to pick up them tomatoes that fell off your truck and get that order delivered. Yeah, every tomato. Okay, so they're squishy. Pick them up. Goodbye. Yeah?
Mr. March, I'm Charlotte Greenwood.
Oh, yeah. You've been waiting to see me. Now, just what is it for you, Mrs. Greenwood?
Well, for me, it isn't Mrs. Greenwood. It's Miss Greenwood.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry. Mr. March, I came to ask if you'd donate a truck to take some things to the clothing drive headquarters.
Donate a truck?
Mm-hmm.
Burn up my gasoline and wear out my tires for nothing? You think I'm running this business for the fun I get out of it?
Well, if you are, you're doing a terrible business. But really, this is a very deserving cause.
Yeah, I know, Miss Greenwood. But irregardless, I cannot assist you. I hope you won't mind my terminating this interview abruptly, but I got a lot of work to do.
Well, all right, Mr. March. The children and I will have to look somewhere else.
I can't help everybody. We get people and children? Did you say children?
Yes, that's why we need the truck for some clothes the children collected.
Ah, children. The pitter-patter of little feet. The happy voices of life's little innocence. The wistfulness of youth. I ask you, Miss Greenwood, is there anything in the world as nice as a nice little boy?
Well, there's a lot to be said for a nice big boy.
Ah, children. The embryonic leaders of the future. Why didn't you tell me you wanted a truck on account of the children? Miss Greenwood, the Lakeview Van and Storage Company is at your disposal.
Oh.
You can have any van you want.
Any van I want?
Absolutely any van you want.
Wonderful. Could I have Van Johnson? Hello? No, my aunt, Miss Greenwood, isn't home right now. This is Jack Barton. Well, if I can do any... Oh. Gee, I don't know why Bobby did that, Mrs. Wright, but I'll check with Aunt Charlotte when she comes in and find...
Oh, my, this rain.
Well, hold the phone, Mrs. Wright. She just came in the door. Aunt Charlotte, it's a Mrs. Wright. And boy, is she burning.
My, have we done something wrong to Mrs. Wright?
Well, Mrs. Wright lives over in the next block, and she says that her brother left for work this morning with his raincoat and then decided he didn't need it. And he came back and he left it on the porch swing, and then Bobby came along and took it.
Oh, I can straighten that out. Let me have the phone.
Here.
Hello, Mrs. Wright. Robert must have thought you put the raincoat out for the clothing drive. I'm sure it's here. I'll have him bring it over right away. Oh, well, that'll be fine. Goodbye.
What'd she say?
She said her brother's coming over to get his raincoat. Now, let me see. Now, that must be it there on top of that bundle of clothes there.
Gee, that's a sharp coat. You can't get those transparent silk ones anymore.
I guess they must have run out of transparent silkworms. Has Mr. Anderson and Judge Cronin gone?
Well, yeah, they left a long time ago. Bobby's down in the basement, and Barbara's having dinner with Willa Morton. Hey, when are we going to eat, Aunt Charlotte?
Oh, as soon as I can change these wet shoes, and I'll see who that is. And, Jack, go out in the kitchen and start the gas under the tea kettle, will you, dear?
Okay, Aunt Charlotte.
Evening, Miss Greenwood.
Well, Junior, come in out of the rain.
Hey, thank you. I just brought out today's receipts for my lunchroom, Miss Greenwood. Here. How do you like that for a swatch of Morgenthau letters?
You're taking in lots of money these days.
Yeah. Joint sure jumping. Selling sandwiches like a house of fire. But I bet you'd never guess what I'm selling like hotcakes.
What, Junior?
Hotcakes. Say, did you ever hear the one about the fellow that...
Gee, I thought you wasn't ever coming home.
Oh, Robert, you entertain Junior while I go upstairs and change these shoes. Excuse me, Junior.
It's okay, Miss Greenwood. Well, I gotta be ankling along, Bobby. I gotta see a fella in the big house down the next block about some goldfish he advertised. Oh, say, how's chances of borrowing that there raincoat?
But gee, Junior, that belongs to the old clothes drive.
Yeah, but I'll have it back before the evening's out.
All right, Junior, but don't forget.
Don't you fret, Bobby. There's only three things I ever forget. One is names and one is faces.
What's the third one?
I can't remember. Well, I'll go out the back door. It's shorter.
Goodbye, Junior.
Well, good evening, my little man. Is this where Miss Greenwood resides?
Yes, sir. Come in.
Aunt Charlotte, somebody to see you.
I'm coming right down, Robert. Oh, it's you, Mr. Marsh. Well, good evening.
Good evening to you, Miss Greenwood. I just stopped by to get my raincoat.
Oh, you're Mrs. Wright's brother.
That's right.
Yes, she phoned. Oh, I'm so sorry Robert took it off the porch.
Oh, it's nothing. Merely a childish error. I am conversant with the antics of little tykes. You have the raincoat here, I presume?
Yes, it's right here. Why, Robert, where is it?
Oh, gee, Aunt Chart. I loaned it to Junior.
Junior? What for?
He said he wanted to see somebody in the big house in the next block about goldfish.
Oh, Mr. March, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, it's nothing. I'm happy to have a boy use my raincoat to look at goldfish. I love goldfish. As a matter of fact, I love most all the denizens of the deep. But what is more tender than a goldfish asleep? Tell me more about this child, Junior. How old is he?
Well, he's about 65.
Ah, wonderful. A tiny tot of 65. A child of 65?
Junior isn't a child. He's an old man.
Hey, wait a minute. Do I understand this correct? Some adult took my raincoat? That, Miss Greenwood, is unmitigated larceny.
And here I thought it was transparent silk.
Miss Greenwood, I am desirous of having that raincoat returned to me immediately.
Junior will bring it right back, and Mr. March, if he doesn't, I'll buy you a new one.
That's not the raincoat I'm thinking about. There's something in the pocket of that coat that's priceless. Now, madam, if you don't have that coat back to me within an hour, I will be forced to take appropriate steps for its return. Goodbye.
Ooh. Gee, where's that shot? What do you suppose made Mr. March change so sudden?
Well, that's March for you, Robert. Comes in like a lamb and goes out like a lion. Now, I've got to go out and find that raincoat.
In just a few days, June will be here. June, the month of brides and wedding bells, and of wedding anniversaries, too. Yes, there'll be many occasions in June for getting in touch with your friends. And you know, it's so easy to express your good wishes in the best of taste with the best of cards. Stop in this week at your Hallmark dealer's and see what fine, really distinctive cards he can show you for any occasion. Beautiful cards that brides will cherish for years among their wedding remembrances. Cards, too, for couples who are celebrating their first or their 50th anniversary. Then, of course, you'll want a card to congratulate that proud new mother and dad. And speaking of dad, Father's Day is June 17th. And now is the time to choose the card that will help make his day a happy one. In fact, for every special day or any day, there's a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Now back to our story. Bobby, collecting for the clothing drive, accidentally took irascible Mr. March's raincoat, then loaned it to Junior. Now, Mr. March wants his coat back because there's something priceless in the pocket, and Charlotte's searching in the rainy night for Junior, knowing only that he went to some big house in the next block to look at goldfish. Right now, she's trying the third house.
Yeah, what do you want?
Good evening. I'm looking for a man.
Don't look at me. I'm taken.
You don't understand.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm trying to find an old gentleman who came this way somewhere to look at goldfish in a raincoat.
Goldfish in a raincoat? What are you trying to give me?
Oh, this is very important, and I've really got to find the man.
It's a fine time to start looking. Why didn't you start earlier?
Earlier? How could I? I've been looking all my life.
Yeah? What do you want?
Do you have goldfish?
Goldfish? Madam, I'm not bothered by any pest whatever, except you.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm looking for an old gentleman named Junior. He came this way to see goldfish. Please, may I come in and use your phone?
Well, it seems to me, young lady, you're kind of eccentric. But you can come in and use the phone.
Thank you.
Providing you pay a nickel for the call.
Right now, I'd be willing to pay a dollar.
Huh. That's an idea. But then the OPA might make trouble for me. Phone's right there on the wall. I'll stay right here and listen to you. Hello? Operator? Oh, for goodness sake, the baby's crying. Now, you stay right here and no funny business, remember?
Yes.
I'm Leary.
Thank you, Mrs. Leary. Hello, operator. Give me Lakeside 201. That's right. Hello, Jack? Has Junior come back yet? Oh, good. And he has the raincoat on? Oh, fine. Don't let him leave till I get there. I'll be back in about 3 minutes. Bye.
Well, and what are you doing here?
Why, it's you, Mr. March. Why, what are you doing here?
May I point out, Miss Greenwood, that I asked the question first?
Ah, but you know the old rule. Ladies first, except on streetcars. You tell me first.
Madam, I demand to know what you are doing in my sister's house.
Oh, then she must be Mrs. Wright.
That's right, right. Right. Now, for the last time, what are you doing here?
Strange, but I came here to look for your raincoat.
My raincoat disappears and you come to look for it where I live? You expect me to believe that? Miss Greenwood, just what do you think I am?
Well, let's go into that someday when we have a little more time, shall we?
Now, look, Miss Greenwood, don't try to tell me that you found my raincoat in this house.
No, while I was here, I found it was in my house.
That's what I... What was that again?
I said, while I was here, I found it was there.
While you were here, you thought... Look, Miss Greenwood, you and me is rapidly getting nowhere.
Yes, but it's a lovely ride, isn't it?
What goes on here? First you high-pressure me in alone in your truck, and then you let somebody make off with my raincoat with something priceless in the pocket. Then I find you here at my sister's house talking double talk. Now, I've given you every opportunity to get my raincoat back, and I want it.
Yes, but I have the raincoat over at my house.
I don't believe it. Madam, it hurts me, but I must ask you to leave. I'm a man of few words, Miss Greenwood, but I strongly suspect you of murdering the truth, perjury, and burglary in the first, second, and third degree.
Well, you may be a man of few words, but you certainly keep those few words working.
Hello. Hello, operator. Give me the police station.
Boys, I wasn't expecting you back this evening.
Miss Greenwood, what's happened?
Yes, Charlotte, this water's coming off here.
Your raincoats, I hope.
Yes. Oh, please. Miss Greenwood, don't you know that you're in jeopardy?
Yes, Charlotte. You're going to be pinched.
Pinched? Really? Where?
Oh, arrested, Miss Greenwood. Thrown in jail.
Charlotte, I just got a tip from one of the boys on the police beat that John March is swearing out a warrant against you.
Yes. He's charging you with the theft of a raincoat and illegal entry of a sister's house.
Oh, my. I wonder how he overlooked that other charge.
What other charge?
I forgot to pay the nickel for that phone call.
Oh, please. I don't know what you're talking about, Charlotte, but we're standing by you. I got in touch with Cronin the minute I found out. And he's going to get right to work for you.
That's right.
First, he's going to get a habeas corpus.
Better yet, I'll get a replevin.
Replevin nothing. Get a mandamus.
Boys, please, watch your language. Besides, this isn't quite as serious as you think. I telephoned Mr. March a minute ago, and he's on his way over. I'm perfectly sure he's going to drop all his silly charges.
Drop them? Why?
Because I found out something about Mr. March. Oh, that must be him now. Excuse me, boys. Come in, Mr. March.
Miss Greenwood, you said over the phone that you'd found out... I didn't know you had company.
Oh, yes. Mr. Anderson and Judge Cronin. I think you know Mr. March.
That Borgia, that Quisling, that Machiavelli.
Oh, my. I didn't think you knew those people, too.
Look, Mr. March, I warn you. If you press your charges...
Now, Judge, please. Now, I told you everything is going to be all right. Isn't it, Mr. March?
Well, I certainly hope so, Miss Greenwood. You said over the phone that you had my raincoat?
Yes, here it is.
I see you've been in the pocket.
Mm-hmm. You said you had something in the pocket that was priceless. I took the liberty of taking it out for safekeeping.
Yeah, and you know what it is.
I do. And what's more, I have it here in my own pocket.
Well, if you'll give it to me, Miss Greenwood, I assure you that all my charges will be dropped.
I'm sorry, Mr. March, but I want these gentlemen to know what it is, too.
Oh, no. No, Miss Greenwood, no.
Charlotte, what is this?
Yes,
what is this thing you're talking about?
Oh, don't tell them. Please, Miss Greenwood, I'll do anything.
It's this little sheet of paper, boys. Mr. March, do you want to read it, or shall I?
No, Miss Greenwood, please don't.
All right, then I will.
No, Miss...
This is a little rhyme, boys. It's a poem about tigers.
A poem?
Yes, it goes...
No.
The tiger's a beautiful creature, attractive in face, form, and feature.
Oh, no!
But stay out of his way, because I've heard people say that he'd just as soon eat you as meet you.
Oh.
Charming, isn't it?
Yes. Say, you know who that sounds like?
Yes, I'd recognize that style anywhere. That poem was written by...
Mr. John March.
Please, gentlemen, don't breathe this to a soul. I beg you, unbend it me.
But, my dear Mr. March, if you really wrote
yeah,
this...
Yeah, I wrote it. But if it gets out that I've been trying to write rhymes for kiddies, I'll be laughed out of the trucking business. I'll never be able to hold up my head at the annual convention of truck, trailer, and pushcart men. You gotta be tough to stay in this business.
Oh, but Mr. March, you're going to be famous.
What? Me? Famous?
Yes, that book manuscript you submitted to that publisher is going to be a big success. Judge Cronin's been looking all over for you because they lost your address.
Now, just a minute, Miss Greenwood. I've been looking for a man named H. Cram, not March.
They are one and the same, Judge Cronin. I began to suspect it when I found out how much Mr. March loved children. But tonight, I happened to hold Mr. March's raincoat up to the light. Like this.
Hey, there's a name lettered inside the counter. You can read it right through that transparent silk.
Yes, it's Mr. March's name. M-A-R-C-H.
Well, let's see, but when you read it backwards, through the cloth, M-A-R-C-H backwards is...
H-C-R-A-M. H. Cram.
Yeah, Cram is my pseudonym. I had to change my name. If I hadn't taken a nom de plume, I'd have had an epithet thrown at me, which is anathema to a truck, trailer, or pushcart man. They'd have called me Softy.
Oh, yes, but my dear sir, you hid yourself too well. If it hadn't been for Miss Greenwood, we might never have found you.
Yes. Who'd ever suspect that nursery versary could have been written by a big side of beef like you?
But, Mr. Anderson, even a side of beef these days has its points.
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, I have a friend whose greatest joy is cultivating flowers. Their beauty grows in fragrant rows to show her patient hours. But passers-by upon the street can't see her flowers at all. No one can tell their shade or smell. They're hidden by a wall. There is another friend of mine who plants no bulbs or seeds, but still there grows in fragrant rows the garden of her deeds. The quiet help she's given friends is like a rare bouquet. Her words of cheer will still be here when roses fade away. One hides her flowers behind a wall, by her alone possessed. The other lives for what she gives. I wonder which is best.
Until next Sunday, at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'll just say, so long.
So long.
Charlotte Greenwood Show is written by Jack Hasty and D.H. Johnson and directed by Thomas Rebaron Smith. With Miss Greenwood, by special arrangement, were Alan Reed, Charles Cantor, John Brown, and Edward Ryan, who appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. This is Wendell Niles speaking.
Paul Whiteman's orchestra, Georgia Gibbs, and the Merry Macs are featured on Paul Whiteman's Summer Hour, which follows immediately. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.